Well, if you would, please join me in your copy of God's Word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're just looking at one verse tonight. And the people of God said amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 is our text for tonight. It says, in everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The title of this sermon is Give Thanks. Give thanks. And I desire tonight, dear church, that you would give God thanks for His grace. That you would give God thanks for His grace towards you. Charles Spurgeon once said, I suppose there are many things, many little things in your house that is of no great value in and of themselves, but maybe was given to you by someone who was very dear to you. Think of how much a child values that old Bible that was given to her by her mother who wrote her name in it. Many a man has in his house things that an auctioneer would appraise as at a very small amount, but that the owner, it would be still be something that the owner prizes very highly because they were given to him by someone whom he greatly esteemed and who gave them to him as a token of his love. Have you ever seen that show, Antique Roadshow? Sometimes that show will have just a really happy ending. Somebody will bring in something they found in their grandma's attic, and it's worth thousands and thousands of dollars. But sometimes somebody will bring an item, and as you can tell, it's very important to them. You can tell that they've taken care of it. It's maybe even in a case. And as the show unfolds, you can tell the appraiser becomes very tense and he realizes, I have to tell this person some very bad news. That this little item that this person loves and cherishes and has been polishing and taking so much care of is practically worthless. Sometimes, like Charles Spurgeon says, sometimes that just, even in response to a news like that, sometimes it doesn't even matter. Because what is really valuable is the fact that that item has sentimental value. There's something special about that item that they've been holding on. And usually the specialness of that item is connected to someone very special in their lives. Well, tonight, God calls you, dear Christian, to give Him thanks for every little thing in your life. Even those little things that you take for granted, even the things that the world despises and does not value, He calls you to give Him thanks, not because of the item in and of itself, not because of the shirt that is on your back right now, but because of the one who gave it to you. Every single good thing in your life is given to you, child of God, by your good and kind Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ. There's no outline for this sermon because it's just one verse. So let's get right into it. He says, first of all, give thanks. Give thanks. The Greek word here for give thanks is one word in the Greek. It comes from the word where we get grace. It's an offshoot of that Greek word for grace, charis. The idea of giving thanks, because it's so tied to the grace of God, the idea is here that God has shown some sort of grace to you, dear Christian, And the only proper response that you should have to the grace of God is gratitude, is thankfulness. That is what thankfulness is. It's the right response to grace. Now, we know that our God is a God of grace. In fact, He is a God of grace to unbelievers, to people that don't even know Him or know Him and reject Him. Matthew 5:45, we learn that God causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Acts 14:17 tells us that He did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling your hearts with food and gladness. The fact that this world, even this coming week, can gather with family, if they'll tolerate them anymore, can gather with family and have a glad moment, a moment of gladness, a moment of satisfaction because of the food that they just ate, even that is proof of the grace of God. And they don't even realize it. But the problem is that in response to God's common grace to all mankind, what does God receive in return? Does He receive thankfulness? No. Romans 1:21 says, "For even though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God or give thanks." You see, in God's perspective, from God's point of view, to not glorify Him and to not give Him thanks for food or for sunshine or just a moment of gladness, to not acknowledge the source of any good thing in this life, is just as bad as not glorifying Him. To glorify Him and to give thanks are mutually equivalent. God sees both as the only right response, the only right thing that He deserves. He deserves glory, doesn't He? Just as much as He deserves glory, Christian, He deserves thanks. And yet, though this world is filled with millions and billions of people who do not give God the thanks that He deserves, yet still God remains gracious and kind. Luke 6:35 tells us He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and evil. So you have people that are already ungrateful and evil in the sight of God. And what does God do? He still remains kind to them. How gracious our God is. I don't know about you, but if somebody doesn't say thank you, if I get them a gift or if I do something kind, I'm much less likely to do something kind to them next time around. But our God is not like us, is He? Just imagine all the things that you don't acknowledge Him for in this life. All the good little blessings that you don't even tell Him thank you for. And what does He do? He still is kind to you, Christian. And dear sinner, you of all people should be convicted by this. Think of all the meals that you have eaten in your life up to this point, dear sinner. Think of all the good nights of sleep, all the provisions, all the car trips where you didn't die on the way to your destination. Every morning that the sun rose, every evening where it set and you could find rest, every smile that you had in your life, every time you laughed, every time you had a good hug from somebody in your family, or any time that your heart was overwhelmed with a sense of love. Think of the countless times you experienced that, Christian, in your life. And dear sinner, think of all the times that you've experienced those things. Think of all those times that you did not give God thanks. In your ingratitude, dear sinner, you are storing up wrath and for the day to come. How terrifying that is. But God sent His Son. And we are given maybe the most central, most amazing reason for which we can give thanks to God. The central way that God has displayed His kindness and His grace is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, because in your rebellion you were ungrateful and evil, and God should judge you for that. And that is your state before a holy, righteous, good, kind, and gracious God. And you should be given over to an eternity without that good and kind and gracious God. He shouldn't give you anything good for the rest of eternity. That's what hell is. Not only the deprivation of anything that is good, but the dispensing, the giving of every bad thing, you could say. All the grief and shame and remorse and pain and sadness and gloom and darkness will be yours for all eternity. Why? Because God is going to give you exactly what you want. A life without Him. A life without His goodness. You won't acknowledge Him for His goodness for you in this life, then He will deprive you from anything good in the next. But because God loves the world, He sent His only begotten Son. And Jesus Christ came into this world, the Son of God, eternal and divine, the infinite Son of the Father, clothed in humanity. Something that we'll be celebrating in the next month, right? Clothed in humanity, born as a baby, grown up in this world without any spot or any wrinkle or any stain of sin. He grew up in this world perfect. Why? So that He could be the perfect Lamb of God slain in your place. And there on the cross, Jesus received an eternity of hell in your place, dear sinner. All you have to do is acknowledge God. Turn from your sin. Turn to God in trust, in faith. You go to Christ and you cling to Him as the precious and priceless pearl. You forsake your sin. You forsake your pride and your ingratitude. You forsake living for yourself. And you say, Jesus, take all of me. And what does He do? Oh, He welcomes you into His arms, dear sinner. And He grants you forgiveness. Oh, dear church, we have much to be thankful for. We have much to be thankful for. That's why He says in this passage, in everything give thanks. In verse 16, He told us to rejoice always. Verse 17, He told us to pray without ceasing. In verse 18, He says, in everything give thanks. So the point is, you should always, speaking of time, there should never be a time, and there is never a time when you don't have a reason to rejoice. And there is never a day that passes where in which you should not and must not pray. Speaking of time in verse 16 and 17, there should always be a time of rejoicing. There should always be a time of prayer. But in verse 18, he goes from time to circumstance. And he says, in everything, in every circumstance, Christian, give thanks. There are many countless blessings that your God has given to you in Christ. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Romans 1:8 says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Christian, you need to realize that you will never and you can never run out of things to thank your God for. And doesn't it say, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, Christian, and see what your God has done. And as you just rehearse the gospel, as you preach the gospel to yourself, as you just look around you, you will find countless and endless things for which to give God thanks. But he does say, in everything or in all circumstances, give thanks. This means even in the difficult times, Christian, the child of God has good reason to give God thanks, even in the difficult times. One author said, if anyone would tell you the shortest, surest way to all happiness and all perfection, he must tell you to make a rule to yourself to thank and praise God for everything that happens to you. For it is certain that whatever seeming calamity happens to you, if you thank and praise God for it, you turn it into a blessing. Well, it's all about perspective, isn't it? Do you see that trial, that difficulty that you're going through as just God's mean hand, heavy hand, and cruel dealings with you? Or do you see it as some sovereign and mysterious work of a good and kind Father who is in heaven? Oh, if your perspective is right, if you know your God rightly, then you'll give him thanks. And even calamity will be turned to blessing. We know this is the context of this verse because there were some in that church of Thessalonica who had lost friends and family and even beloved brothers or sisters in Christ. They have passed away. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 14 says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. I understand that this holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas, for some, dare I say even for many, is another reminder of those who are no longer with us. And God knows that, and that's why in the context of 1 Thessalonians, he reminds us that you can grieve, dear Christian, but you don't have to grieve without hope. If the one that has gone ahead of you is a believer, then they are not lost. You will see them again. And even as you remember that loss, he says, in everything, give thanks. Even while we grieve that loss, Christian, you can give God thanks. Charles Spurgeon said, be thankful for the providence which has made you poor or sick or sad. For by all this, Jesus works in the life of your spirit and turns you to himself. Do you know why you can thank God for difficulty, for trial, even for loss? Because at the very least, God intends for you to use that as a reason to look to him. And any excuse I get to look at Jesus, I'm thankful for. He says, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will. This is God's will. You see, Christian, God wants you to be thankful to him. He desires it. He intends it. Now, he doesn't crave your approval. He doesn't need your affirmation. That's not what he's saying, but he does operate graciously towards you, dear child of God. He does operate graciously towards you so that you would give him thanks. This is his will. This is his plan. This is his desire. That's why he's so kind to you. Don't you see? That's why he's providing for you. Because he wants you to thank him. John MacArthur says, the Apostle Paul's command to be grateful in everything means that for the believer, gratitude should be connected to everything that occurs in his or her life, no matter how pleasant or difficult it is. No matter what the situation or trial, there is always reason to thank the Lord. And that's why he gives both, so that both blessing and trial will result in thanksgiving. You see, Christian, God's purpose is his praise from lips of the thankful. God's purpose is his praise from the lips of the thankful. This is his will. We know that in chapter 4, verse 3, it was said that God's will for you is your sanctification. Here, God calls you to be thankful as well. I know what God wants for you. He wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to be more and more holy like Christ. And I know what else he wants for you today, dear Christian. I know his plan for you today. His desire and plan for you, his will for you today, is that you give him thanks. That's why you're here. That's why he's been kind to you today already. One author says, such a life is made possible because God intends it to be so. He wants his people to be thankful, and so he makes it possible for them to be thankful. Remember, he is commanding you, in everything give thanks. And guess what? He wants this for you, that in everything you will give him thanks. And so if he wants that, and he wants what he commands, then won't he provide the ability to do it? You might think, well, I can't give thanks for this. Oh, you can't. But the Spirit who is in you can enable you to. He can bring it about. This is God's will. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you, Christian. Literally, this is God's will unto, or in reference to, you. The emphasis here is that in your very own individual life, dear Christian, God works sovereignly and providentially. And He is daily at work in a million ways in your life that you are completely oblivious to. And in all His sovereign workings in your life, oh dear saint, He is being very gracious to you. You know, the primary roadblock to gratitude, to thankfulness, you know what it is? It's discontent. Hebrews 13:5 says, make sure that your way of life is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. How do you fight against discontentment? How do you promote thanksgiving? Is by preaching to yourself, Christian. Reminding yourself that God has promised to never leave you or forsake you. And isn't that enough? Take everything, but give me Jesus. Isn't that how the song goes? God is working out His divine love and His sovereign commitment to you in very intimate and customized ways, dear Christian. You just got to open your eyes to appreciate. He is working in just the most perfect way in your life so that you specifically would give thanks to Him. His sovereign goodnesses and kindnesses are very personal. He doesn't just sprinkle grace over the earth and hopefully some falls on you. No, He has your name in mind. He knows every intimate detail about you. He knows everything that you need even before you ask it. And so, Christian, you need to understand every little thing. There's no such thing as coincidence. Every good so-called coincidence is the grace of God operating in your life in that very moment. This is His will for you, because He's working for you. And so He wants you, Christian, to give Him thanks for the ways that He is gracious to you. But all this, God's fatherly and gracious operations in your life, His enjoyment of receiving your thankfulness, all of this is only found in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God's kind workings in your life, His delight when you acknowledge Him, when you acknowledge the hand that has fed you. Oh, all of that is only possible for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is only for those who have cut themselves off from sin and self-worship and have taken hold of Christ Jesus in the gospel. When you place your faith and trust in Christ, you are essentially wedded to Him. That's what it means to be in Christ Jesus. You are essentially wedded or married to Christ, spiritually united to Him. And that union, Christian, that you have, that is between the sinner and the Savior, guarantees you, dear saint, the Father's love and His forgiveness and His gracious providences in your life. So only those that are in Christ Jesus can give thanks like this. So what a rich and kind blessing it is that God will be gracious to us and then allow us to acknowledge Him in gratitude. He does this, why? So that you would give thanks in all things. Charles Spurgeon, again. Many a man has in his house things that an auctioneer would appraise at a very small amount, but that the owner prizes very highly because they were given to him by someone whom he greatly esteemed and who gave them to him as a token of his love. He goes on, let us learn to look in this way at everything that we receive in this life, for such a view of it will sweeten it all. We will not then begin to calculate whether we have as much as others have, or as much as our own whims or wishes might crave, but we will recognize that all we have comes from the hand and heart of our Heavenly Father, and that it all comes to us as a token of our Father's love, and with our Father's blessing resting upon it. Oh, as you gather with family and loved ones and friends this week, when you declare and share maybe one thing or a few things that you're thankful for this Thanksgiving year, may you acknowledge the giver of that thing. Oh, I pity the atheist who has to survive this week and who is being told to give thanks for all the good things that he or she enjoys, but has no one to give thanks to but themselves. Oh, that is a pitiful state. Dear Christian, you have not been saved to this. You have been given eyes to see that all of these good things that you're going to celebrate this week come as a token of the Father's love for you. So let us give him thanks. Stand with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we do thank you. We do thank you, Lord, and we acknowledge you, that you are the sovereign, good, kind giver of anything and everything that is good. Every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shifting shadow. Oh Lord, you are dependably good. Your graciousness and your provision and your kind workings in our life does not depend on your mood, Lord. It depends on your promises and your commitment to yourself as well as to us. And so, Lord, we give you thanks this evening. Help us, Lord, to not be like the world, to not to let a day go by where we don't acknowledge all of these good things and where they come from. Oh, but may we stand out as different, that we don't need a holiday to tell us to be thankful, though we do enjoy this time, but we should be just a thankful kind of people. I pray, Lord, that we would develop that more and more and use this week, Lord, in our lives to develop a heart and an attitude of thankfulness in us and our families as we gather with one another. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing.